Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
The Warriors are moving in one direction, brought to you by First NorCal Credit Union. Evan Giddings and Dan DeBone with you on Warriors This Week. Steven Rizzotto behind the glass with you as always. Yeah, Dan, we are in the middle of a transition, you and I. And I know I'm dressed like a friggin' narc, but I promise I'm going to my other job later. And Dan, you can catch, well, not another job, but later in the afternoon on Warriors Live at 4:30.
Yes, Warriors Live at 4:30, and then stay tuned for the post game show.
Yeah,
we break down Jordan Poole.
Rips Jordan Poole
for we can go full hour taking calls about Jordan Poole.
Yeah.
You're in on Jordan Poole. Yeah, he's having a good season.
He is. Would you have guessed he's shooting like 41% from three?
40% from three. Yeah,
doing pretty good for himself
from the floor. Yeah,
the prodigal son returns.
I saw a game of him. What was our last game out? The Suns? Anyways. Yeah, they played the Suns. And this is so Jordan Poole. I don't want to launch into this guy. I think people know how I feel about
him. He certainly launches.
So he was on a switch with Kevin Durant. And this is, I can't even do this justice. You have to see the play. And then he just leaves him. He's like out in front, like between the circles. And Kevin Durant wants to go. He's holding the ball. And then on a switch, Jordan Poole is now guarding him. Jordan Poole realizes, like, I shouldn't be guarding Kevin Durant. So he just leaves him. And Kevin Durant just walks into, like, a little runner. And then also typical Jordan Poole fashion, he starts pointing at Kuzma, like, you were supposed to pick him up. And Kuzma's like, what do you mean? We switched. You can't just leave a guy in the middle of the floor. And there's Jordan Poole pointing a finger. It was like, encapsulated exactly who this guy is.
Get off my guy.
He can score. He's a player, but he'll never get the other part of basketball. Never.
Well, that wasn't what made him effective. He was never... he was never Lindsey Hunter. Like, he's not a guy that's just going to lock you up. Oh, he's a pretty good defender back in the day. But Jordan Poole does what he does. We're going to see it tonight because he's probably going to get 20 shots up. Question is how many he makes. All right, Austin's in San Jose. He's been hanging on patiently. Austin, a voice of reason for this show. Please get in here, Austin. Good morning. What's going on?
Good morning, fellas. My favorite guys on Saturday. Listen, I can't believe, Dan, you don't know what the game is tonight. You're going to be, unfortunately, having to talk about the Warriors when my Commanders are on. They're playing Detroit, bro.
Oh, no. So, good luck, Austin.
Come on. Don't act like you don't know what's going on. But listen, the Warriors, man, I kind of push back a little bit, guys, a little different with the guy talking this week. First of all, you know, having lived, and I got some years on me over you guys, so having lived in the corporate world for a while, this thing was very orchestrated. Three guys talking, happened to be talking the same week about the future. I don't know why guys that are playing, getting paid millions, are talking about the future. I mean, they should be focused on the present, and that's winning ball games, making sure the fans get their money's worth for the product. I don't know why they're trying to tell people about the future when really nobody knows the future. You know, this whole two-thirds, I would say right now, Evan, and maybe you disagree, two-thirds to three-quarters of the roster won't be here in 2 years, is my opinion. So I don't know why. It's going to turn over, to Dan's point, I think. Maybe not dramatic, but I think it's definitely going to turn over more dramatically than we might think. Steve Kerr will be a lame duck coach next year, so that's reality. I don't think they bring Steve Kerr back. You guys are talking about that and what that looks like. But clearly there's a misalignment between the coach and the roster. I've kind of felt that for a while. It's not to disparage the job that Kerr's done in the past, but it's more about the current present. We still want to talk about the past. We want to talk about the future. We don't seem to want to talk about what's now enough. And so I'm a little uncomfortable with players talking about the future of the organization. I don't think that's their job. I think that's Lacob and Dunleavy and the investors' jobs. I don't know why they would be doing that. And also, there might be a very good reason why they might want to do something that the players don't want them to do. Just because Steph Curry, and we love him, would say, hey, we don't want to do anything dramatic, there might be all the reasons why they do want to do something dramatic. Like Dan's been saying, how about if we could redo the roster and bring in some younger guys for the, start making that happen quicker than waiting? Maybe that's the direction it should go in. I mean, we've seen LeBron James a couple years ago, if you guys recall, traded almost half the roster at trade deadline. I think they made the playoffs. So let's not get caught up on this culture. We can't do what we shouldn't do. I just wish we stay in the present and try to make this product a good product. Because right now, Dan, I think we'd agree this is not a good product. And I'm not sold on the talent. I don't think it's a very good roster, guys. So that's just my take. I'll keep listening. Thanks.
Thanks, Austin. Good luck to the Commanders tonight. I think, a couple things.
Jaden Daniels is for real, by the way.
He's the only reason I think they can beat the Lions. Although, that run game is going to be tough to stop. But Daniels is a dude. A lot of Niners fans, I'm sure, are very jealous. He's worth 60. The thing is, with the Warriors, I agree with Austin that the comments from the triumvirate of Curry, Kerr, and Draymond were calculated. They were intentional. But what I don't get, as I pay off one of my teases, is why the guy who's in the middle of all of it, is Draymond Green. He was the first person to speak. He did the Yahoo story, or was quoted in the Yahoo story with Vincent Goodwill, who wrote about the state of the Warriors. And Draymond's the one that this summer revealed to us that the Clippers didn't want to trade Paul George to the Warriors. He's the one that has talked about us as a franchise, us, the Warriors, doing things down the line. What is a good move? What is a bad move? Draymond Green's been playing GM more than anybody else on that roster and coaching staff. What we heard this week was calculated, was united, but it was in response to Draymond again opening the floodgates to whatever the future of the Warriors is going to be. To Austin's point, I'm 100% with him. That's not his job. That's the front office's job. And I find it very interesting that Curry and Kerr have had to answer, and are happy to do it because they love him, for the box that Draymond Green continues to open, whether it's about missed opportunities this summer, wise decisions, even someone like Pajemski and Kuminga, the kind of potential that they have. Draymond's been playing GM for the Warriors for, I would say, the better part of 6 months since the summer, and I don't understand why, because that's not his job.
Is this the first time you've met the young man?
Well, he's not young anymore.
Well, he's not young, but it's Draymond. He's always been this way.
I mean, he hasn't played GM like this.
Well, but what he's been over the last couple of years, and maybe it got launched with his podcast, is he wants to be the smartest guy in the room. And he always wants to tell and remind everybody that he knows basketball as well as anybody, including the people that make decisions on respective basketball teams, that being the general managers. He's always using that pulpit to let everybody know that he has a graduate degree when it comes to basketball and what it is that teams are trying to do to him and offenses. What does he always say? Like, I know every offense. I can't figure out Memphis for some reason. Like, I know what teams are trying to do. He's always been that guy who wants to be the loudest in the room and to make sure that everybody is aware that he knows basketball better than most. And so, yeah, maybe he's gotten a little bit vocal in terms of decision making, but it's part and parcel of who this guy is. If you ever listen to his podcast, he goes there. He's been doing it for 2 years now on The Volume.
No, I agree with that. And honestly, I enjoy listening to Draymond Green talk basketball, talk X's and O's. But he's a player. It's not his job to discuss why a franchise is, quote, good or bad. This is the quote from the story. The beautiful part about being in the space that we're in is Steve Kerr, Steph Curry. Let's stop. Full stop. Those two guys didn't talk about this. Whether you've discussed it or not doesn't have to be public information. They're in the middle of trying to figure out whatever the hell this season is prior to the trade deadline, determine ideally a direction in which you and I doubt. But from there, Steve Kerr, Steph Curry, and myself all disagree with the mortgaging of the future for this organization, saying that we're going for it right now. That's not just him speaking for the head coach and the star player. That's him speaking for the front office. He doesn't work in the front office. And I just find it strange that whenever we find out anything about the Warriors and what they're feeling as a franchise, taking the temperature of the organization, Draymond Green is the Raymond Ritter. Like, he does all the PR for them.
Well, I think you're going to drive yourself nuts if you're going to take someone like Draymond Green, much like that of Charles Barkley back in the day, from a literal standpoint. Like, you can't. That's just, they're always going to be the loudest. They don't necessarily think these things through. And he's sort of the modern day Charles Barkley in a lot of ways. And while all those things that you said might apply to everybody else, not Draymond, it never has. And it's one of the reasons why he has a broadcasting career with whomever, Amazon, TNT, wherever it is that he's going. It's because, and again, I think Barkley sort of paved the way, that he's going to be that one guy, while everybody's zigging, he's going to zag. He's going to be the guy who's going to tell you the truth. You shouldn't have said that, but Draymond is the guy who feels as though he has the ability to do that. And he has the prowess to do that because he doesn't have to answer to anybody. And he sort of lives, you know, he lives by those bylaws that, well, everything else is applicable to anybody else in the NBA. That doesn't apply to me because I do and I say as I please. And I think that that's who he's always been. Although, to your point, over the last couple of years, it's been a little bit more vocal, just simply because I think now he has more of a voice via his podcast. But that's Draymond, I think, from the outset.
But these aren't comments from his podcast. Like, this is from the podium. This is talking to the media. This is doing things that all players do.
Well, he was in a one-on-one, wasn't he, with Goodwill?
Yeah, but it wasn't a podcast. It was like a column. But neither here nor there. My point is that it sounds like Draymond is a player that isn't just talking with tenure. He's talking like he has equity. And if that's the case, or that's his goal, that's certainly something. I just find it funny that of the three guys, I mean, it is who Draymond Green is more than Kerr and Curry for sure. I just find it interesting that he's the one who's, you know, the literal mouthpiece for the organization. Like, dude, we haven't heard Joe Lacob speak virtually at all this year. I think he's done a podcast with Kawakami after they traded for Schroeder. We heard him over the summer make some comments after they didn't get Paul George in, or maybe it was when they were trying to court marketing. We don't hear from Dunleavy.
You're just getting back to Draymond. So I just brought this up. Do you know this guy at ESPN? I can't pronounce his name.
Young Misuk,
pretty good. So the interview he had with Draymond, are you familiar
about
with
how
it?
He's a nicer man?
Yeah, but he got into therapy, and he talked about, it was really interesting because he became very candid. And I think even there, he revealed things that probably, I don't think that the NBA that had this sort of, wasn't a contract, but they had this sort of, these sessions with him that included, like, it was almost like a tribunal. They had like seven people on the Zoom, and there was Draymond. And Draymond talked about very openly about what was discussed and how he wanted to continue these Zoom meetings for therapeutic reasons, even though the mandate had been lifted by that of the NBA and he was allowed to return last year. So he's an open book, and he says things that he shouldn't necessarily talk about, but that I think is just sort of to the point of, like, he, you know, he whether he's conscious of this or not, it's sort of the beast that he's feeding these days of the persona that he wants to be going forward, whether that's a career in broadcasting or whatever.
No, I think it's a good point. I find it interesting, and it's not necessarily bad, but I think that, like, Curry's caught a lot of the brunt from social media because he's Curry. And I also think, to Austin's point, it's like, you know, we got to focus on the present. Well, I think they're trying to. I mean, I think, look, obviously the Timberwolves win is a move in the right direction. You try and win the game tonight. And that's kind of where the Warriors are at. Like, I don't know if I said it on here on one of the post-game shows, but to me, the word of the month is endure. Like, you just got to try and endure this tough stretch and stack as many wins as you can. Because I don't think that a lot of help is coming. And they're also, you may not feel like Kuminga's great. You may not think the pods is the truth. But, like, they're pretty banged up. You know, against Toronto when they lost that game, who, by the way, beat the Celtics their next game, they were at full strength, the Raptors were, and the Warriors were missing four of their top eight players. And they're already not a very good basketball team in terms of talent. So they got to try and just persevere, which is why it's funny that they were discussing not making a move for the future. It's like, I don't really know what you're holding on to. But
I think the Austin's point, and just to go Bill Parcells on you, you are what your record is. And again, the 12-3, I'm just throwing away. This is a team that's 8-17 over its last 25 games.
Sure.
8-17.
But if they go 8-1 over their next nine, you're going to throw that out too?
You're still holding on to this.
What I just is it, want to push you.
What is it that gives you... I want to get there too. You know me, man. I don't want to hate on the Warriors, but what is it... I would love to see this through rose-colored glasses like you. Where's the optimism coming from?
The optimism is, I guess, like, I'm resigned to the fact that they're not winning a championship this year. So I'm not looking at them as a great team. And so, to me, they're kind of right where they should be. Like, they're fighting for the play-in spot. It's where they were last year. And the optimism, I guess, comes from the fact that when they play with intensity, I've seen them get to a level that they haven't been at the last month and a half. And I also think we're beginning to see a different sort of attitude from Curry. I do think that he's found a way to kind of manage the bilateral knee tendonitis or whatever he's been dealing with, because he's been more consistent over the recent weeks. And if he's giving you production, then you're in games. But I guess it's Steph. That's why I'm optimistic.
And Steph is going to be 37 years of age in March.
Mm-hmm.
And he has to play like an MVP every time out for them to win. And he doesn't.
That's not true.
He doesn't play in back-to-back games any longer. If that's the optimism, I'm out. I love Steph as much as the next guy, but we have to be real here. And there's nothing more than Steph Curry has to ball out for this team to have a chance.
They're 5-2 without him, though.
And no Jonathan Kuminga doesn't help things either. This is about, if the Warriors are going to win over an extended period of time, you know as well as I do that Steph Curry has got to be front and center.
But he doesn't have to be great every single night. That's been proven this year.
Well, then who does? Who's your number
one? Everyone else.
Yeah, I'm not buying everyone else. And that's the other part of this that I find fascinating. When we talk about, well, you can't mortgage the future, are we talking about draft picks?
Draft picks and really just one player, in my opinion. It's
Jonathan Kuminga. Yeah, so I think this idea that, well, the future is not something we want to mess with, that might be applicable to Houston. That might be applicable to even Memphis or OKC, but I think we need to reevaluate, well, the futures of the Warriors is we don't want to mess with any of these guys. I mean, really, is Pajemski and Trace Jackson Davis and even Moody and, you know, Jonathan Kuminga hasn't really proven himself, although I'm with you. But, I mean, we have to even, when you hear that the future is not something that we're going to disrupt when it comes to the Warriors, I think we have to take a much closer look to exactly who those younger players are. This is, again, it's not Houston with, you know, Amon Thompson and all these young, Jalen Green and company. I don't see the budding stardom of tomorrow with the Golden State Warriors, younger players.
No, I don't either yet. But again, that's what you have. Like, whether you like it or not, that's really all you have. And I think that's why people have spent the last week like relitigating a lot of the missed draft picks or missed trade opportunities. But I also think that's the whole reason why they have their fourth championship. So it's kind of a damned if you did, damned if you don't.
I'm getting a lot of calls.
Let's get to Drew in Sunnyvale. He's been hanging on for a while. Thank you, Drew. Wants to discuss how the Warriors have been run. Drew, welcome. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going, Evan? Looking sharp on a Saturday morning.
My man.
Okay, all right. Yeah, I mean, like this. I think this entire week, right, it's all been about what direction are the Warriors heading, right? Obviously, a bunch of articles have come out, a bunch of conversation. This entire week has been like literally just about that, right? Mm-hmm. And I wanted to provide my take on it, right? So basically, for some background, I've been working at startups for 10 years now. I've been a part of acquisitions. I work at an early stage startup right now. And the way I look at the Warriors is that Joe Lacob, who is a venture capitalist by trade, runs the Warriors like he's a VC. And let me explain some of the things that he's done and what I think he's going to do because of this mentality. So the first thing is that since Joe Lacob has become owner of the Warriors have bought the most second round picks. Like they've literally paid money for the most second round picks since Lacob has become owner. So why is that, right? Well, he sort of looks at it like investing in a seed stage startup. So he thinks that if I can get more bites at the apple, more players in the system, if one of them hits, and literally just one, the other 10 or 11 that don't hit, don't matter. Like they just, in the context of a basketball team, those other 11 sort of startups that he invested in that, you know, drowned out, they don't matter if that one player hits. So that goes into my other point, which is I don't think the Warriors are giving up draft picks in any trade for the foreseeable future, unless it's for a player that's like too good to be true, like a Giannis. Maybe even a Zion, you can talk Joe Lacob into that, but I really don't think they're giving up draft picks. In fact, in the Dennis Schroeder trade, they didn't give up a draft pick in the sense that I believe it was Dennis Schroeder and a second, DeAnthony Melton for mm-hmm. another second. So he never gave up a draft pick in that trade, and the reason for that is because he just believes in having many bites at the apple. And this is a fine mentality to have if the people who are under you also have that mentality. However, the reason why there's such a disconnect between the Lacob and the Warriors front office is because they're not startup incubators making it like a tech parallel, right? Yeah. So I don't look at Steve Kerr as a startup incubator. He's more of a CEO of Amazon type of guy who's a more of a people manager than developing players, building a company, that sort of thing, right? And that's why I think Steve Kerr is on his way out. I actually agree with the previous caller, Austin, that he's going to be a lame duck coach next year. I think we're all... we're all cognizant of that, and Mike Dunleavy is also not a Sam Presti,
yeah.
Right? He's not a guy who will value draft picks, value draft capital, and turn that into a viable product, right? So there's a disconnect, and it's been going on for years.
Thanks, Drew. Yeah. Sorry, no, I do want to get some other people into the conversation. We really appreciate the perspective, and you're right. Like, I mean, OKC hasn't hit on all their draft picks, but in consecutive years, they drafted Josh Giddey, who's a starter. They drafted Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams in the same draft, and they drafted the other Jalen Williams in the second round. So you got four starting players, two of which appear to be budding superstars, and you pair them with an SGA, and you're set. Like, but again, that's having draft capital to work with.
Yeah, he lost me on, why can't you do that with first-round picks? Why is it that he feels he's making the analogy with, I get it, that he just need, as a VC, you just want to get that. You'll fund a bunch of companies, and you just need one of them to hit. I understand that. But why is it in the second round? Why not put all those eggs in the basket and chase first round picks?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. Well, there's been second round picks. Well, Draymond Green is obviously a great example. Nikola Jokic is a second round pick. But those, I think you're right. Those are more more comets than stars. Let's try and squeeze Coach Vallejo if we can in before the break here. Coach has been hanging on patiently. Coach, good morning. What's going on? How are you?
Good morning, Evan and Dan. You both are great. Happy morning to you.
Thank you.
I agree with Dan. I'm going to get to that point in the second part of my comment. The first part is that, Curry doesn't adapt to the players that he has. He always wants the players to adapt to his system instead of coaching the players in the way that they were brought up. In the example, he tells Kuminga not to take contested 15-footers. Well, that's what made Kuminga the number one high school player in the country, is by taking contested 15-footers. Kawhi Leonard or DeMar DeRozan could never play for Steve Kerr because he'll tell them to pass the ball out to Curry and let him shoot the three-point shot. Now, to agree with Dan on his point, Draymond is excellent in evaluating players and how to play the game. I think he'll make a great general manager or coach. If it wasn't for Draymond, Kuminga wouldn't be where he is now. Draymond is the one that kept telling management over and over, play Kuminga. Iguodala said, if I play before Kuminga, something's wrong with the system. You need a Draymond. You need a Iguodala. These type of guys are excellent at evaluating basketball talent. And that's why Draymond can't stop himself for talking so much basketball. He knows a lot of basketball. I think he's a better coach and a better general manager than Dunleavy and Steve Kerr. But I wish, lastly, I want to say, if you had Derrick Henry for working with Steve Kerr, he'd make it a passing team instead of giving the ball to Derrick Henry, okay? Instead of adopting to the player. So that's the problem he's having with Kuminga. Kuminga doesn't fit the system, but Kuminga is great at what Kuminga does, and he needs to go about with Kuminga in that aspect. But thanks a lot, guys, and I appreciate listening to me.
Thanks, Coach. Hope you're having a good day. Yeah, interesting. We got to hit a break here. And on the other side, I do want to address kind of this idea of what first can really mean. Because I think it's interesting that a lot of people don't value them when that's kind of what the Warriors have been built on. But Dan DeVone and Evan Giddings will take a quick break. Be back after this on Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game. 888-957-9570 if you want to get into the conversation.
Shocked you talking to me.
He's from New Jersey.
Yeah.
He's probably an Eagles fan.
I don't care. You can't do that.
Now back to Warriors This Week on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, you East Coast cats are different, man. You're all bundled up now. You got California skin with an East Coast demeanor.
It's freezing out there.
Strange.
Well, you know, in New York, when you're walking around, you're layered up. So you know what to expect, right? You get the scarf, you get the gloves. I actually rock thermals. You've got multi-shirts on. You cover every orifice. You can't go outside without a hat.
But you swim in the bay.
No, but here it's different.
Cold as
because
hell.
Because I can't, you have all these microclimates in San Francisco, so I have a hard time gauging how to leave the house sometimes in the city.
Well, there's a microclimate inside the studio. It's 60 degrees in here.
It's the Arctic in here.
Pasta is in a 75-degree sweltering sauna.
Yeah, that's nuts.
It's unbelievable.
Do you know the leading... Oh, we got calls.
You got something on your mind. I want to hear it.
No, I'm just saying, do you know who the leading vote-getter is for the NBA All-Star Game? I just saw this.
It's not Steph Curry.
It's LaMelo, who surpassed Steph. That just shows you where we're at in the NBA. Guy shooting one-legged threes, man. People love this cat.
Well, do you think it's because... So have you heard his brother's song,
yeah,
Tweaker?
It's already gotten old, I think.
Well, I think it has, but I think that's the reason why he's so popular. In addition to being, one of the young kids' favorites. He is kind of funny, though. Like, LaMelo Ball, I don't think he's, malevolent or malicious in any way, but he's pretty funny. Like, he's an affable kid.
I think all the Balls... The father leaves some things to be desired. I think all the kids are pretty good-natured. I think all the kids are wired pretty well. He did a good job.
Yeah. The middle one, I don't know.
Lonzo? Oh, LiAngelo. Well, he couldn't make it in the NBA, and now he just signed a huge deal.
Dude, he got $8 million from, was it Columbia or Interscope? I forget which one. But yeah, he just got an $8 million deal for making like a Nelly-type throwback song.
So at the end of the day, Pops was right, man. I got three gems here.
Well, the Cavaliers were playing it. It was their victory song in their locker room because Donovan Mitchell hated it during their 15-game win. He might even still be on a win streak. It seems like they always have a double-digit one.
No, man, they got smashed by OKC.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That was on Wednesday.
Curb stomped them.
Yeah, that's going to
be... By the way, it was $13
million. $13
million. $13 million deal. With Def Jam and Universal Music Group.
Wow. All right, you and I need to make a hit track, Devone, so we can get some of this LiAngelo money. That's for sure. Let's go to BJ in North Carolina, my favorite state. BJ, what's going on?
Yeah, nothing much, my brothers. How you guys doing, man?
Fan-freaking-tastic.
All right. Okay, well, I'm not going to hold you up, man. I just want to say I listen to y'all show every day. You have a good show. Talking about my team, Golden State. And the things I say, I don't want y'all to take it personal the wrong way, but I agree with this guy what just got through talking maybe 10 or 15 minutes ago. I can't understand why people blaming Jonah every time you turn around at Jonathan Kuminga not doing this, Jonathan Kuminga not doing that. The boy's the best athlete on his team, and no one can tell me nothing different besides Seth Curry. I know him. I know his granddaddy. Cody, we from his granddaddy and me from the same place, in originally from Virginia, although I'm in North Carolina. Okay, so what I'm saying is Steph is going to always be Steph. He's good, good. Besides him, John Kuminga is the best player on the team. I always bring up about John Kuminga. The boy's good. There's no doubt about it. Yes, he may miss free throws. Like I told other guys, he got to work on them. He got to work on his three-pointer a little bit more. Besides that, be 22 years old. There's nobody on the Golden State team is better than John Kuminga besides Steph Curry. And like the guy say, Draymond, I'm not going to hold you up. Draymond Green helped him a little bit in different things. So did Andrew Wiggins. That's why he's getting a little bit better in his free throw. But I just can't understand why everybody wanted to damn John Kuminga when it comes to Podhensky, whatever his name is, the left-handed guy. Mm-hmm. You never hear nobody talk much about him. He can't shoot his way out of a paper bag. Then you got Looney can't shoot. You got some other guy that can't shoot, but it's always John Kuminga. And so I'm not trying to damn you guys, but your people should lay off of John Kuminga because the boy is good. And I promise you one day, I do believe he's going to be a star or a superstar. That's all I have to say. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, BJ. Appreciate it. Hope everything's good out east. Yeah, I will say this. During his absence, and even to some extent Pods a little bit, you can see that this team needs to get younger and faster. Like, them not being on the court, mainly Kuminga, it's pretty noticeable.
Yeah. And that's why the Warriors are where they're at, is that their two best players are old.
Who's their second best player?
Draymond.
You sure?
Well.
No, I think it's an open-ended
question.
Well,
that's part of the problem, is that, yeah, I think he's their best player. Or maybe Kuminga. You know what
it is
I'm saying. Is that they're, and the fact that Curry, speaking of which, I don't even, you know, yeah, Curry should be a start in the All-Star game, no doubt, but.
I think he's second in guard voting in the West.
Yeah, but not playing back-to-back, I don't know, taking into consideration if I'm on that committee.
Oh my God, you are not starting the anti-Curry at Chase Center.
Hey, I want to go to
a campaign.
Can you get me into a party? I have no pull. I know NFL Super Bowls.
You got more pull than I do.
No, I don't know anything about the NBA All-Star Game parties. I'm sure dialed in.
Well, Nahegan, the head honcho boss here, was talking about different things that we need to do and events that we need to be at. I didn't hear anything about parties, so I
don't want to go
talk to him
to an event. I want to go to, you know, a party. I want to go in where it's thumping, and I want to see some celebs, some A-listers walking around that are here for All-Star Weekend. One of those clandestine parties that nobody knows about, but because we are the broadcasting, we have the broadcasting right to the Golden State Warriors, we've got the inside track on this thing. I could hook you up at the Super Bowl. You don't know what the best Super Bowl party is every year?
The day party.
Thank you. I've told you this.
The day party.
You know, it's well, getting
I've been
bad
to, I've been to one. I haven't been to the one you're talking about, but yeah. I went to one last year.
Good calls.
Real quick. GP2's pop, we might have an in on.
Is having a party?
I mean, Gary Payton's the man here in Oakland. I imagine he's going to have something. But I know someone that knows him. So I might be able to, if he is throwing something, if there is a shindig in the East Bay, we might be able to figure something out.
You want the biggest drop of the day? So GP, this is how cocky I was in Seattle. So I had him on an interview.
That's right.
Before the interview.
Should have known.
Before the interview, I was renegotiating my contract. And yes, this is going to sound terrible. I was the highest paid. My agent said, we not only want you to be the highest paid sportscaster, I want you to be the highest paid personality. Like, forget about news and everybody else. And so I had the cojones to ask GP2. I'm like, hey, man, can you hook me up with your agent?
Gary Payton Sr.
Gary Payton Sr., yeah. I'm like, I need some real players. Like, I thought I was somebody. And he did. He put me in touch with the Goodwin brothers. If anybody knows Eric and Aaron Goodwin, who were LeBron James, actually had, they were his first agents. They represented LeBron James before LeBron James went entourage and got his boys. And I remember sitting down with Eric Goodwin, GP2's agent, and he invited me to his office, and I sat down, and he said, so what sort of money are we talking about? Now, keep in mind, he's talking millions and millions of dollars. He was working Vin Baker and all these guys. And I told him my number, and he just basically looked at me and said, come on, man. You're wasting my time. You know, I'm not going to charge you for the bottled water, but there's the door.
Oh!
It was very short-lived. But anyway.
Oh, Devone got knocked a few inches down that day.
Yes, I did.
You hate to see it. Yeah. Some of these texts that we've been getting today, they've made me chuckle. No, I don't want to be the next Post Malone. I also am wearing a tie because I have to go to a broadcast later. All right, I'm not going for a job interview. Although, this is something that you taught me.
You look like one of those Mormons that knocks on my door in the middle of the afternoon. Nothing wrong with the Mormons.
There's actually a few that's been on my block. It's been concerning. I don't have my jacket on, which completes the fit. But you've taught me that every time you get on the air, that kind of is a job interview. Like, you never know who could be listening.
Yeah.
So if I go and do this Santa Clara basketball game today, which, you know, whatever, Washington State will be fun. But I got to show up looking dapper, bringing it every single time.
Oh, no doubt.
You can't mail it in.
No.
Never can.
No, not especially when you got Santa Clara and Wazoo.
Oh, yeah, throw the record books out when those two get together. Let's go down to Daly City and talk to Rich, wants to get into the Dubs direction moving forward. Rich, what's going on? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Awesome. How are you?
Good, good. A couple quick points. As far as the going youth, even Kerr has also mentioned it's a young man's league, but everything he does as a frustrated fan has been killing any momentum that our youth have had. Like when we had the 12-0 run, he would say, "Okay, we're using too much depth here," and then he cut the bench and started using more like his favorites, like a GP2. And it, in my opinion, it killed the momentum of that 12-0 run. That being said, why is it, knowing that that's what he said, why is it? Because I've heard it from some of your other announcers as well. Why is the idea of going with the youth that we already have considered to be insulting to Curry, given we're not going to be trading for anyone anyway? I'm just trying to understand the logic behind that. And given Draymond's comments as well, I'm wondering, is it wrong to go with the youth? I mean, we already have them there, so why not, you know, invest in what we have if we're not going to trade for anyone outside? And second thing, I heard Jabari Smith might be available because he's fallen out of favor in Houston. I wouldn't mind seeing him as a stretch five. I appreciate your thoughts.
Jabari Smith is a nice player, but I think the reason why he's fallen out of favor is because Tari Eason is better for what the Rockets want to be, which is a physically imposing basketball team. I mean, so, you know, He's not a bad player. Obviously, a top three pick a couple of seasons ago. But I will say that, Rich, you're right in the sense that, like, those are the kinds of players that I think the Warriors have to try and identify.
Yes.
Players that are projects, or much like with what they did with Andrew Wiggins. I think that's the next move they're trying to find, is a player like Wiggins who is talented, who is younger, who is athletic, but for whatever reason, the situation just hasn't been right, and then they can bring him in and hopefully change
Unlock him.
Yeah.
Unlock, much like Brunson got unlocked in New York. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander got unlocked out in OKC. It happens. It's difficult to do, but that's where I like your thinking. Now you're coming onto my side of the block.
Well, I'm going to jump over the curb in a minute.
You got to look at those young players that could be that star. Draymond Green, to me, where are we at with Zion Williamson? Now, okay. Aside
back
from
to
him,
Zion.
Forget about Zion and what it is that he did after the windmill dunk at his first game back after being out with an injury throughout the majority of the season. I just think that that marriage has to end. But are you out on Zion? Because Zion, to me, if New Orleans is at the point where we got to move on, like this has to end, if ever the quote-unquote phrase, someone needs a change of scenery was applicable, it's applicable to these two parties in New Orleans and Zion. I'm willing to take a roller on that guy.
I don't know if the Pelicans want to move him, though.
Oh, yeah, they do. Are you kidding me? Oh, God, he has exhausted every last option. They were done with this guy 8 months ago.
But why?
Well, just for what it is that I laid out. They can't go the back and forth and the injuries. And then, you know, they came out publicly. They didn't have to do that. They didn't have to disclose that he was late for the team meeting or missed a flight, whatever
well,
it was.
Well, he got suspended. You have to list the reason why you suspend a player.
But it's gotten to the point of no return now. What do they say in a divorce? It's irreconcilable differences. That's where they're at.
Yeah, but they were just a season removed from...
It's chaos there, though. I mean, not only Zion, everybody. Brandon Ingram. I mean, it's...
I think Ingram's the guy that's on his way out. I don't know if they're going to move off of Zion, because also he's not a financial anchor. Like, the way that his deal is structured is they can kind of get out from underneath the money. And that's why I think the Warriors would try and take a swing at him. But to me, that would be this summer. Like, everything that we're talking
that's
about...
Fine. Do it over the summer.
Well, but we're still going to have to do shows every Saturday between now and then. My point is, all the big swings or the moves that we're talking about, to me, those are summer conversations. And it doesn't mean that you just give up on the season, but all the trades, or if the Warriors do make another trade, I think it's going to be a Dennis Schroeder. It's not him specifically, but that kind of move. A low risk, high reward. In the case of Schroeder, it hasn't been a high reward. It's just kind of been what you've been. You know, but I think a player you're going to see tonight.
But are those fringe moves making you competitive?
No, but they're improving you marginally. Like, I didn't like the Schroeder move when they made it. I just don't think he fits. But I can't neglect the fact that he's a starting caliber guard, and clearly Pajemski has not been able to grow into that kind of player, and Schroeder moves Pajemski back to where he probably should be, which is coming off the bench. Like, he fills a role for the Warriors, and he's kind of a stopgap because he's not going to be on the team next year. Someone like Jonas Valanciunas tonight, I think, is a guy that makes sense for the Warriors because he doesn't make a lot of money. The Wizards clearly don't want him and have no intention of competing. And he can give you an extra big in the middle. Like, but that doesn't, you're right, that doesn't move the needle. But to me, that's the kind of player that they're going to be aiming at.
That's just making trades for the sake of making trades. That's the old rearranging the deck chairs in the Titanic. I think it's got to be something a little bit more bold.
Well, Schroeder's helped them win a game or two. He's also helped them lose a game.
I think
or two.
Zion would be the more bold move. This has to be...
Well, it would be bold.
It has
be risky.
To be, well, very risky. But you're at a point where you have to take a risk.
I don't think they are.
we see this entirely different. I don't know. I don't get the level of optimism. I think that this is a team that is... This is who they are. Over the last 2 months, they've reared their head and said, hello, We are a sub 500 basketball team. And I think everybody needs to get their arms around the fact that the longer they wait, the more difficult it's going to be. And there's really no easy way out of this. Dynasties are always difficult when they end. This is worst-case scenario. Because you have aging Steph and Draymond, and then you have younger players who were not really sure if they're any good. And then you prolonging things because of guys like you who believe that, hey, listen, we can still be competitive, and I think we can get in as a 6 seed and maybe a 5 seed, and we could surprise some people. This is not a good basketball team. Is it time for the ID pasta? The Golden State Warriors, brought to you by 95.7 The Game, KGMZ. The Golden State Warriors are in a rebuild. They just don't know it. Go ahead, Ev.
I don't know how you can say that, though. Like, they're clearly not. Because
8-17 is how I can say it.
Okay, then I'll throw 12-3 in your face.
Come on, 12-3 ain't real.
Yeah, I don't think 8-17 is, because it's happened most recently. But yeah, I don't think that they're 12. Damn, they're a 500 basketball team. All right, let me ask you this.
Yeah, how about this?
Why are they in such a? Why do people think that they are in such a bad spot?
Why are they in such a bad spot? Yeah. Like, to point at one thing?
No, like they're a playing team. They're another team right now.
Yeah,
they're not close to being the worst team in the league.
Well,
they're also not close to being the best team.
Because you're investing more in 12-3 than I am, is why they're not the worst team in the league. If you were to look, if this was the first 25 games of the season and they're 8-17, they're one of the worst teams in the league. You're leaning in more on 12-3 than I am, willing to go there.
Yeah, and you're leaning more on 8-17.
Well, I think that leaning in on 8-17 and what it is you're doing at this juncture of the season is a lot more indicative of who you are as a basketball team as opposed to sort of the pretenders in the beginning of the campaign. I think once we get to this part of the season, we're almost at the midway point, you know, we're beginning to separate who's real and who's not.
Yeah, I've literally told you that the Warriors can't win a championship. But that's the prison that you, along with a lot of Warriors fans, are still locked into. That if you can't win a championship, then destroy everything.
No, if you can't win a championship in your Houston, you don't destroy anything. If you can't win a championship in your Memphis, you don't destroy anything. If you can't win a championship and you're the Knicks or you're still a few years away, you don't destroy everything. If you can't win a championship and the future is bleak and you have an old basketball team with no identity, then yes, I think that...
But what is there to destroy if you're telling me there's nothing on this roster?
Well, not destroy, but you do have to make bold moves. And you have to think about a rebuild and investing in the future as opposed to salvaging something this year.
I don't think they're trying to salvage anything this year.
I mean, you just told me, well, according to you, if you were running things you'd want to get into the playoffs. You're not willing to make any drastic trades, that you're still thinking about this team as being one of the top 5 or 6 teams and could get into the postseason.
Well, no, I mean, that's the goal, but you're not doing anything that's going to harm your future. Like, I think that's what we learned this week, is that two things can be equally true. You can be hyper aware of your franchise's future while also recognizing that you don't just give up on the season.
It's not so much giving up on the season as we both agree that we're both in agreement that they're not going very far, right? They're not going to the Western Conference Finals. If they get to the semis, that would be one of the biggest surprises in my estimation. You may not be down with me, but...
No, I don't think they're getting past the first round, even if they happen to sneak in.
So it's not about giving up on a season, because there's no season to be had. It's about the future. And the future gets awfully daunting.
But you're telling me there is no future.
There is a future if you address it now as opposed to later.
But I don't know how you're supposed to address it now.
Well,
trading Draymond Green doesn't accomplish anything.
The idea that collectively you recognize that this is a team that is building for tomorrow and not today, because that's part of the problem.
I agree with that.
But When we witness what it is that we saw this week, it's a team, again, that has no identity. On one day, it's Steph saying, look, you can't mortgage the future. We're not going anywhere. The next day, he's like saying, hey, listen, I'm one of the most competitive guys. Of course I want to win this year. Well, it's one or the other. And that's the problem. I think that the Warriors have to, and whether it's by making a trade or coming out and saying it, they have to get their arms around who they are. And who they are is a team, again, that I strongly believe should think about rebuilding and getting into the lottery and getting leaning in on your draft picks.
So tanking.
And no, not tanking. Going to the lottery, you can play it out the remainder of the string with your personnel, and Kirk can coach his ass off every single night. You're still going to be in the lottery, in my estimation. I think there's a good chance that you're going to be in the lottery, despite, and you don't have to sit guys, and you don't have to load manage guys like Brooklyn is, and say, no, we don't want to win. We're not interested in that. The Warriors are going to be very much interested in winning and trying to win every single game. They're still going to be a lottery team, or at least on the fringe of potentially being a lottery team this year.
Yeah, but I actually think we're in agreement more so than you're making it out to be.
I don't think that they're going to tank, and I just don't. The reason why I think you and I are a little bit different here is because I think there has to be a collective agreement, and it has to start at the very top, that this is a team that is not close. And going to the playoffs, in a lot of ways, is the worst thing that can happen to you, because it's going to create this illusion, or you'll become delusional that actually, you know what, we're not that far away. And maybe we can squeeze another year out of Draymond and Steph and these older players, and let's continue to lean in on these kids. That, to me, is a recipe for disaster.
Well, but that's why I think that they've been in such a holding pattern the last, well, really since Kuminga and Pods both went down. It's like, yeah, I would love to say play the young guys and figure out what you got in them, but they're hurt. Like, you literally can't do that. So, like, they're stuck right now, and they're going to have to lay in the bed that they made, but you can have your eye on the future while also competing in the present. I think that's where I'm at. It's like, you can still come out with the fight that they showed against Minnesota, while also recognizing that reinforcements are likely not going to come at the deadline. Like, a guy, I mean, I throw out Valanciunas, but a player like him, a player like Schroeder, doesn't cost you anything. That doesn't hurt your you know, rebuild or whatever you think they're aiming towards. Like, those are marginal moves, and they're not going to turn you into contenders, but they're also not going to hurt your overall goal of whatever it is you're attempting to do, or resetting or transitioning. I mean, I think the Warriors don't have much of a direction, and they're hoping that can be revealed to them. But we do have to hit a break here. I want to continue on the other side, because I think it's interesting. Where are the Warriors going? What is the goal for the rest of the season? 888-957-9570 is the number. Dan DeVone alongside Evan Gennings back after this on 95.7 The Game.
Hey, football fans, it's Andrew Filippone, host of the First and Pod podcast. Join me and my co-host, three-time All-Pro Patrick Peterson, as we break down every game every week. New episodes drop on Monday and Friday mornings. Be sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.